Will you pray with me? So God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight as we seek to draw near to you, to hear from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So before Michael and I got married, my mom gave us the book Financial Peace by Dave Ramsey. It's the same book that the class, Financial Peace University, is based on, which Amanda Stone teaches a couple times a year here at First Baptist. Michael and I read the book, and we agreed we wanted to be good stewards of our money. So we outlined our monthly budget, which at the time was not much. We started using the envelope system suggested by Dave Ramsey. We had an envelope labeled groceries and one labeled restaurant money and one labeled entertainment. Living on a budget for the last 17 years has been good for us. It's kept us from getting into credit card debt. And as you have heard me say before, we don't fight about money. Now, we fight about other things, but not about money because we have a plan. When we first got married, of all the budgeted money that we had, none was more sacred to me than my clothing money. Michael could care less about his clothing money. It would just sit in the envelope. Even now, it sits in the envelope from month to month. And once or twice a year, I would say, "Don't you think we should spend some of that?" And we would go out shopping for clothes. But not me. As soon as I got my money back then, I would put it in my purse just in case I happened to be out somewhere and see, you know, some piece of clothing that I really needed. So as you can imagine, I didn't spend my clothing money on other things. I didn't use it to buy groceries or to buy things for the house. I only used it for clothes, right? Now, just as an aside, when you become a pastor, a doctoral student, and the mother of a preschooler, you no longer have time for shopping. So now my clothing money sits in the envelope too. But back then, it was really important to me. Early in our marriage, Michael and I were on a mission trip with our church. We were working at this small church plant outside of Kalispell, Montana. It was a small church that met in a school, and it was clear to me that many of the people attending the church were low income. On Sunday, we attended worship, and during the sermon, the pastor talked about the work that the church was doing in the community. He talked about their benevolence ministry and how they were feeding the hungry and clothing people in their community. And I thought to myself, wow, this seems like a pretty low-income church, yet here they are taking care of the community. At the end of the sermon, the pastor said, "In the back of the church is a box for this work, and if you can make a contribution, that would be great." When he said that, this thought came into my mind that I knew was not my thought, because I would not have had this thought. And the thought was, give your clothing money. I felt God nudging me. I can tell you with confidence that I did not want to give my clothing money away. And so I said to God, "But I don't want to give my clothing money away. Do I have to?" And I remember just having this feeling that I needed to give it. In the first two verses of Isaiah 58, which we did not read, God is speaking. And God reveals that there is a problem with the Hebrew people, God's people. God says, "Announce to my people their rebellion." The passage goes on to explain that there is a gap between how the community is living and their acts of worship. They're mouthing worship to God, but they're not living out the scripture in their daily lives. Isaiah 58 was written after the Babylonian exile, and some Jews have returned to Jerusalem to live. Verse 3 through 5 describes how during that time, fasting took on a new importance in their worship. In addition to the traditional fast on the Day of Atonement, four new fasts were created to remember the fall of Jerusalem. Verse 3 says that the people are frustrated because they are dutifully fasting and humbling themselves before God, and God isn't even noticing. Why have we fasted and you haven't seen? The passage says they're fasting like crazy, and God doesn't even seem to be paying attention. The passage is really pointing out that they are fasting to gain advantage. They want to be seen by God. They're not worshiping God through fasting. They're fasting in order to gain God's favor. In response, God says to them in verse 6 and 7, our passage for today, is not this the kind of fast that I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? God describes the kind of fast that is truly pleasing to God: acting compassionately toward your neighbor, sharing your bread, your houses, your clothing. This is the kind of fast that pleases God. Share your resources with those in need, God says. The final phrase of verse 7 is especially compelling. Did you notice it? It refers to the hungry and needy as kin. Some translations say, your own flesh and blood. In other words, the hungry and the needy are part of your family, my family. When we ignore them, it's like we're ignoring our brother or our sister. But the most profound part of this passage, the part that surprises me the most, is what comes next. The directives of verse 6 and 7 to care for those in need are followed by a strong then. And in verse 8, it says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. In other words, the passage says, if you do what God asks in verse 6 and 7, if you provide food, clothing, and shelter, then verse 8 will happen. If you provide food, clothes, and shelter for your neighbor, then your light will break forth. It's not just an ordinary light this passage describes. It's not like sunshine. This light is immense well-being, healing, protection, safety, vindication. So the ironic thing about this passage is that they're fasting to gain favor, but the passage says, if you provide for those in need, everything good will be given to you that you are hoping for. Surprisingly, the passage indicates that when we give to others, it brings about our own healing. Maybe some of you have experienced that in your own life. Christian social activist Jim Wallace tells a story that I think illustrates this point well. One Sunday morning, Wallace was the guest preacher at a church, and he was preaching on this very passage, Isaiah 58, and he was talking about how reaching out to others, how serving others can heal your own soul. An older member of the church named Chuck came up to him after the service, and Chuck said, that's what happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. And Wallace said, well, tell me the story. Chuck said, after my wife died, I was so depressed. I missed her so much that life didn't seem worth living anymore. But I kept coming to church every week. And one week I met Wanda. Wanda was a young woman who was struggling, and she really needed a place to live. So I decided, what do I have to lose? And I took her in. Now Chuck said, I'm just too busy to be depressed. I've got to take care of Wanda. Helping Wanda, who was in need, caused light to break forth in Chuck's own life. We think often that when we give to people in need, when we give to people in poverty, by volunteering or by giving our money to agencies like VAC, Room at the Inn, or Loving, we think that we are being the benevolent ones, the gracious ones, that we're helping those people. But Isaiah points out that our healing is at stake here, not just their healing. Verse 8 says, your healing will spring forth. The health and well-being of our own souls is somehow connected to the health and well-being of our neighbors. So this passage is a reminder to us. It's a reminder to us that worshiping God is not enough. We have to live out our worship in our daily lives. And one way we do this is by caring for those in need in our community, those who need food, clothing, and shelter. Isaiah 58 also informs us that serving others is not just for their sake. No, pursuing the common good and caring for our neighbors is for us too. It's for our good, our own souls, our health, and our happiness. Finally, this passage also reminds us that our resources are not just ours to use and spend as we wish. They're a gift from God to be used in service of others. I think this is why God prompted me to give away my clothing money. It was an opportunity to sacrifice something on behalf of others. This month is Local Missions Month here at First Baptist. One of the ways that we care for those in need in our community is by giving of our time, our resources to agencies here in town who meet the needs of the most vulnerable in our community. We don't partner with, you know, all the agencies in town. We have selected a few agencies to drill deep with, to give our time and our money to really try and make an impact. One of the ways that we care for those in need in our community is by partnering with Love, Inc. And so today we're delighted to have Jane Williams, the founder and the current program director of Love, Inc., with us to talk about the ministry of Love, Inc.
Sorry, it takes me a little longer than most people. Am I there? Am I good? All right. Thank you so much for having me today. I feel like I've been at a feast. I've been here since the 9:15 service, and I'm pretty overwhelmed by now with the beautiful music and the prayers and the speaking, the friendliness. You got a great church here. I'm also pretty overwhelmed just by your ongoing support of Love, Inc. Thank you for having me and taking the time to make room in a Sunday service. Thank you for the ongoing support that you've given Love, Inc. through the years. Love, Inc. is 7 years old now, and First Baptist has been one of our faithful supporters through the years. We've also so very much enjoyed getting to know your pastors, Carol and Michael. They came to visit us at Love, Inc. shortly after they came to town, and I just felt we had such a kindred spirit. They love the disadvantaged. They want to make sure, as Carol said, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. And they also just really love to collaborate. They see the picture of just the body of Christ working together, and so they just wanted to be a part. It's just been really encouraging to all of us at Love, Inc. And the core of Love, Inc. is exactly that, collaboration. We're a network of churches and volunteers who just bring their talents together and try to see how we can best help those in need. We first start out with hearing each person's story and then offering prayer. And as we hear the stories of the people in need, and really I think last year it was about 600 new people we hadn't met before, they were wanting to offer the time for us to hear their story. And we learned that maybe they couldn't pay their utility bill, but if you hear the whole thing out, what they really needed is a better job or a safe friend or just a way to figure out how to spend their money more wisely. We do use some of the envelopes around Love Inc. too that Carol mentioned. And so what we discovered was if we can just begin to brainstorm with folks and help them create an action plan and then give them information. Volunteers have helped us create over 100 information sheets and packets with all the questions people ask most often. So we can help them, guide them. And then sometimes we found people just need someone to walk with them for a while. So we've trained a lot of volunteers, and we'd love to train some more, to be coaches and coach people in just some really simple, clear-cut, practical ways of looking for a job, discovering your life purpose, figuring out affordable housing, managing your money, just really befriending people and telling them they can do it. They can make a difference, and a difference can be made in their lives. We match people sometimes with volunteers that have kind of unusual talents. We have people that can fix a toilet or mow a lawn or help somebody with a citizenship test, and they get partnered with someone at just the right time at a critical juncture to make a big difference. Love Inc. also has the Love Seat. Some of you may have seen the flying sofa out on the business loop, where we collect furniture and clothing and we give away free basic needs items to people in crisis and transition. Last year we helped about 400 families, and that could look like somebody coming out of a domestic violence shelter, somebody getting their first household from homelessness, veterans leaving the VA hospital. It could look like someone who needs a clean suit to go look for a job. And so we try to help them. We have a resale store there to support that, and we receive donations from wonderful people like you throughout the community who want to partner with us. One of the things I wanted to mention while I'm here today is just that this church does make such a difference in Columbia. Because of your location and your long history of generosity, you get many requests here. I don't know if Pastor Michael talks about it very often, but I have a little bit of a clue how often the phone rings and the kinds of need that are presented here. And we have counted it a real privilege to work alongside him and others here to verify the needs, see if they're truly legitimate, and then try to make recommendations for strategic use of the benevolence funds that you have. You're a generous church, but nobody ever has enough money, so we try to figure out the best way to use the money that we do have. Last week, you made a big difference in an older woman's life who was going to lose her home. And along with funds that you gave and some others, we were able to keep her in her home, and it truly changed everything. Michael's actually the one who brought her to our attention, because she first called him, and then other people got involved, and the next thing we knew, a crisis was averted. So we can't thank you enough. You are making a difference. We can tell just by your emphasis a whole month on local missions that you have every intention of continuing to make a difference. And truly, you are one of the brightest beacons of the love of Christ in our city. Thank you so much.
As I mentioned in the first service, we partner with several agencies around town, but Love Inc. is very near and dear to me just because of the frequency that I end up calling them with a question or sending them an email. And as they mentioned, folks who come in to utilize our Samaritan Fund, who I meet with when I started in this church, I was overwhelmed with the need and the stories and the people who came in. And I turned to Love Inc. and said, hey, I just need help. I'm over my head on this. And they met with me, and I would send these references to them, and they would help me to figure out what was a true need and what was a need, but maybe in a different way, and help me to figure out how our church could best support those who came into our doorstep. And so I greatly appreciate the work of Love Inc. and Jane and all that they have meant to First Baptist as our family of faith and through the ministries that we try to be a part of here. So this morning, I would like for us to take a moment and pray for all of our ministry partners, but this morning we're going to focus our prayers on the work of Love Inc. I'm going to ask you a moment to just take a few moments of silence and offer your prayers for this ministry, and then I will close us in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many ways that you share your love with all of those in Columbia. And Lord, we thank you for our part as a church, as your body, to be a part of sharing that love, not only in worship and vacation Bible school and youth camps and the many other ways we come together, but Lord, also in the times that we are able to be there for those who are hurting, for those who are lost, for those who have nothing. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to open our eyes and our hearts to the ways that we can support the ministries here in Columbia that are making a difference in this community. Lord, ministries like Love Inc., the volunteers, the people, the staff there who come together to meet the needs of those that honestly, Lord, are so easily overlooked. Those who are quietly hurting, who are facing homelessness or a bill that's too great or the loss of a job or a spouse or countless other things that they bring to the ministry table. Lord, I pray for the coaches and the volunteers and those who support Love Inc. Lord, I pray that you will give them courage as they meet with those who have some pretty incredibly difficult situations. And I ask that you will give them wisdom as they are your hands and feet. Lord, I pray for this church and our partnership that you will continue to bless our work together and that we will be able to continue the support that you're providing here. Lord, we lift up all of our ministry partners in the work that they're doing here in Columbia in making a difference in the lives of people and helping them to seek your love and see your love in a tangible way. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.